in New York. Pete McPherson, Saturday night. I don't usually do this. My wife even said, she's like, have you ever done a Saturday night show? I'm like, I don't think so. But here I am, taking your calls at 888-808-1019. The Astros defeat the Mets 9-6. The bullpen finally shows itself. Can't hide them. And, I mean, I'm not mad at Mendy. I took a call. I think Tom was talking about how, you know, clearly you needed to take either Diekman out or Reed Garrett out. I'm just like, for who? It was a short pen. Where else are you going to go? They had a 6-1 lead, and they couldn't hold it. And they also didn't score any more runs, and that is baseball. Like, you're not going to be able to put up double digits every single game. Who are you mad at? Tyler McGill? Okay, then get him up out of here. I don't know. Christian Scott is on the way. Kodai Senga is on the way. Jose Budo. At least you have in-house options, and you have the deadline coming up. Steve is in Old Bridge, New Jersey. Steve, you're on the fan. Go for it.
Hey, Keith, what's going on, man? It's a pleasure to talk to you on a Saturday evening.
Yeah, thanks for joining the show. How you feeling?
Ah, dude, I got to be honest. Just watching that game today, it's like you were all pumped up, you know, the 6-1, you know, lead. Everyone's singing, oh, my God, we're having a blast. And then the short pen came and bit us. But here's the issue with the short pen. The pen we're putting out just doesn't have it enough for a team that has done as well as they have to get back to where they're, back to 500, mm-hmm. back in the wild card race. And with July coming up, I know the schedule softens and we're going to get Diaz back in 6 games, but he just throws the ninth. You know, the Reed Garrett experiment, I think he could be the sixth inning guy. So I think Stern really needs to maybe be aggressive a little early. Don't wait till the July 31st or July 30th deadline. I think he needs to get out in front of everybody and be aggressive and go acquire some help now before other teams jump in and jump on these guys. We have a ton. I shouldn't say a ton, but we do have a good amount and a decent, minor league system where we could turn around and flip a couple players that we brought in last year and go get some really good, hopefully really good, you know, in New York, but some really good bullpen help, some setup help, some middle relief help, you know, because these guys are not going to last until September and into where they really want to be.
Steve.
So I truly think they need to get out front.
The trade deadline is a month from now. I just watched David Stern speak yesterday, and I think he's happy with everything. He likes the vibes. He talked about how everybody, you know, likes Mendy and respects Mendy, and all everything seemed good and positive. But what if David Stearns is saying, I'm not going out there and adding high-leverage guys. Like, I'm not going out there and getting us some power arms for this team because as of right now, we're not a wild card team.
Well, that would be disappointing because, you know, we have hopes to become one. And I think we have the offense, on a more regular basis than not. And I think with the rotation guys that we have, you know, we do kind of have an abundance of them. And we got some guys coming back and coming back up. We do have some holes, some flaws. Mm-hmm. But I think that I truly think Keith, man, like he's got to go grab some players. He's got to go get a few more arms because I can't see to Danny Youngs anymore. The only guy I really truly trust is Daniel Nunez.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's basically the only guy because Reed Garrett was good about a month and a half ago, and now it's starting to just be he's iffy.
Yeah, it's tough.
And now we got to see how Diaz even does when he comes back without the sticky stuff.
Right.
So who knows where we're going to be.
Thanks for the call, Steve. I'll say this. You said that there's hopes of the Mets being a playoff team. Steve Cohen told you last year, hope is not a strategy. So Steve Cohen and David Stearns are not moving off of hope. I don't see them making a move to add a reliever. For what? They're going to go in-house. And at least you have some in-house options with your starting rotation. Maybe, I don't know, I'm looking at Tyler McGill talk right now. Maybe they move him to the pen. Maybe they shuffle some things around. I remember when you guys signed Shintaro Fujinami. I'm like, where the hell is he? He's not good enough. He's been in the minors. Like, that guy throws hard. He's He's a tall, hard-throwing, I don't know, not non-factor. I think that the Mets have to keep winning. And as I listened to the fan this week, as miserable as the Yankee fans are, the Mets fans that host shows here are delusional. And, like, good, be delusional because of what you went through in the beginning of the season, and now you have a season. But, like, we're talking about World Series right now for a team that's 40-40, a team that has no bullpen, a team that, like, they had a ridiculous month. You have to tip your cap, give them credit. They played the best baseball in the league. They dug themselves completely out of it at a rate, like, the way they hit, amazing. But it's a business, and I think when Steve Cohen and David Stearns look at the business, they're going to say, well, we'll make moves internally and hope for the best, but we're not going to give up assets. We're not going to give up our prospects to add to this team that potentially still might not make the postseason. 888-808-1019. And don't be mad at me because I'm a Yankee fan talking about it. That's just facts. I don't know if the Yankees are making the postseason. It's good to stack wins. It's good to be in first place, now second place, and you know, have 50 wins. You could fall out of it. You'll still most likely be a wild card. Nothing is etched in stone. And that's what's great about baseball. It's a long season. It is a roller coaster ride. Strap in, folks. But, man, on this radio station specifically, because we host every day and we take calls every day, it's so in the moment that, like, talk about seeing the forest through the trees. No, we're just staring at the trees and just assuming, yeah, this is great. We're World Series bound. No, it doesn't work like that. Get healthy. Get the ghost fork back. Get young Christian Scott back. Jose Buto. Make some moves, shuffle around. You've seen Stearns already take a guy like Adrian Hauser out of the rotation, put him in the bullpen. At 40-40, a game out of the wild card, a month to go until the deadline, I don't expect David Stearns to be adding a Tanner Scott or a Mason Miller, the two big names that people talk about in the bullpen. I don't expect him to be adding those guys based off hope because Steve Cohen told us last year hope is not a strategy. 888-808-1019. Okay, Yankee fans. What do we do? What the hell is going on? What do we do with these guys and this team? Soto is out. And as good as Judge is, like you saw today, they're going to start pitching around Judge. And we keep laughing about, yeah, they're still pitching to Judge. They're still giving him pitches to hit. Well, in the third inning, they pitched around him. Verdugo popped out. Stranded runners. Like, with Soto out of the lineup, like, why would you throw? Why would you? I would take your base. Yeah, here you go. I'll pretend. I throw all around the zone. Oh, couldn't throw a strike. Not letting that guy beat us. Not letting that guy beat us. And you know what has changed the most about these Yankees? They can't cash in the first inning. And they give it up in the first inning. I saw Talking Yanks put out a stat. The Yankees have allowed at least one run in the first inning in 8 of their last 10 games. So when you talk about being flipped upside down, it went from the Yankees getting on and attacking first, whether it's Volpe, Soto, Judge, Homer, whatever, to now they get runners on and they strand them. And that's been consistent. And then, you know, they're drawing first blood on the other end. So you're already down. And that's demoralizing. When you're losing, it's contagious. When you already feel like you don't have all your horses, you're not at your best, you're relying on rookies, you're relying on utility journeymen, you're relying on backups. You got guys playing out of position. It is not crisp. When you start going down in runs, it's, you know, the fear of losing starts to set in, and it's already a foregone conclusion. You're like, yeah, we can't win today. Sucks. Sam is in the Bronx where the Yanks play. What's up, Sam?
Yo, what's going on, Keith? How you doing?
I'm all right. I mean, I like watching baseball, and I don't like watching Yankees baseball right now. It has been very annoying, frustrating, and sad.
No, I feel you, man. I just want to say I appreciate you, like, everything you've done. You've done a really, really good job with your whole time at WFAN, and I'm a big fan. I just want to say the thing about Cashman, we actually talked, I think, last year about this. The thing about Cashman is that I actually think, you know, the lineup will get it together. I really do. I know I'm probably alone in a lot of that. But the thing about Cashman is the pitching. The pitching has just been atrocious. And, you know, even if you look at the expected stats on a lot of the starters, it's just been really bad. And the thing with Cashman is he takes too many risks. And this has been his MO from the start. It's like, okay, let's build a bullpen of total reclamation projects. I mean, there's not one person in that pen that you're like, oh yeah, he was really good with this team, he's really good with that team. There's not one person that is actual proven relief pitcher. There's honestly very few people in that starting rotation that are proven starters. I like Stroman. I think Stroman's good, but Nestor was hurt most of last year. Clark has not been proven to be a good, you know, long-term starter, and he's been hurt, and he didn't have a lot of that workload. Carlos Rodon, what did you see out of him that you thought, like, okay, that instills, confidence in that?
I'm so down on Carlos Rodon. I know how hard it is for guys to play here. Like IKF, he's a different man playing in Canada. I don't know if Mr. Rodon has the mettle to play here.
Yep. So that's what I'm saying. So at the end of the day, like, I'll keep it short. I just think that I think that Cashman just puts a lot of faith into just hopefully Blake can get it going. Hopefully they can make this happen. And
hopefully DJ LeMahieu still got it in him from what we saw with Sean Casey helping him at the end of last year. Hopefully in a Gleyber Torres contract year, he'll ball out like Judge did in his contract year. Hopefully Rizzo is not concussed anymore and his back is fine and he'll stay healthy and hit. Hopefully Giancarlo Stanton came in shape. He's not going to pull a hammy trotting to home.
Exactly, and that's what I'm saying. I can keep going too. I keep going too. To be honest, like the same thing with the catcher position. Like we didn't have an outfield until last year.
Bye, Kyle Higashioka. Hopefully, Austin Wells is ready to go. Everybody hated Gary Sanchez. Let's get Gary Sanchez out of here. Make a trade for Jose Trevino, and hope that you know his deficiencies are masked for long enough until they're not. Now everybody's like, oh, we can run on this guy.
Yep, exactly. And you and I are on the same page. When we have talked on this show, we have been on the same page. So that's all I'm saying, man. Like, because people talk and they hear Yankee fans and they're like, oh, you want to start every position. No, I don't want to start every position, but I want somebody that's proven. And you're putting
and not an easy out in the lineup. Not an easy out in a lineup. Like, it's too many holes in a lineup.
It's crazy. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, Rice is a great story, and I love Rice, and I actually do want to see him get at bats. But that's not somebody you could say, oh, yeah, he's a proven guy.
He's not proven at all. He's a hitter.
Even same thing with Gleyber. Honestly, I love the story of Gleyber last year. He came back. He had an 800 OPS.
But they were terrible last year.
But that's one guy. But what I'm saying is with Gleyber, that's one year out of what? 4 years? So you're going to say now.
But I'm not arguing with you. What I'm saying is everybody keeps going back to what Gleyber did last year. They were 500. So the best player on a 500 team, what is that? Like, he's nothing, and now he's worse. Thanks for the call, Sam. They have a lot of issues. They have a lot of problems. I don't know if they need, Oz the Mentalist to pull up, or maybe that dude that, like, kicks freestyles that showed up to spring training. I know they tried to do, like, a team morale travel day where they all wore throwback jerseys and got on the flight to Toronto, but they were doomed with that whole thing. You can't have fun doing that because we had a 90-minute rain delay in the second game of the Subway Series where they got their asses handed to them in front of the whole city, in front of the whole world, and then they had to get on the plane and go through customs and not go to sleep until 5 in the morning. So what morale booster was the throwback jersey? I wouldn't even have wanted to wear it. I would be like, to hell with that. I'm putting on my sweats or my whatever my travel stuff is. I'm not playing that game. They need some type of come-to-Jesus moment. And I thought it happened last night. I honestly thought, man, Stroman bugging out as the new guy, Stroman like showing up his teammates, which is not good, no bueno. But they checked him, and the team woke up and started hitting and tacking on and taking advantage of that Blue Jays bullpen. I'm like, here they are. All it took was Stroman to rattle some feathers from guys on the Yankees that are used to failing every year, guys that have been here every year that start off hot and then fold, the new guys not having it, the new guys asking for urgency and not to be so casual with your turning of a double play. But that evaporated. You take Juan Soto out of the lineup, I'm telling you, bro, they don't have a chance because he is such a massive figure. I was in here with C-Mac that Friday filling in for BT and Sal. I had hope against hope, and I'm tired of the hope. Hope is not a strategy. Hope week is over. I had hope against hope that they were going to put Juan Soto in the lineup against the Dodgers. I knew he wasn't hurt. If the man is telling people it doesn't hurt when I throw or I swing, he's fine. But they wanted to be cautious. They took Juan Soto out of the lineup, and it just took the morale out of the team. It just took the swag out of the team. It's hard to believe that you can go out there and get it done. And yeah, the captain will do what he does, but like it's a team. Baseball is a team sport. Maybe you have a pitcher go out there and just throw a no-no or a perfect game. Other than that, the lineup has to be connected. The lineup has to help each other. They got to pass the baton. And right now, the Yankees have been putting out way too many lineups. Oh, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I thought this was the year the Yankees would have the most consistent lineups. Now they're going back to what they did the last few years, leading the league in different lineups. Sucks. 888-808-1019. When will it end? Call me up and tell me. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. All right, folks. I've got like 90 minutes left. This is already smoking right by. Keith McPherson on the Fan till 10. And I got to talk to my fellow Yankee fans. My fellow Yankee fans, my fellow Americans. What was worse the other night, the Yankee game or the debate? I came in here trolling. I was like, yeah, when I first turned it on, I was like, this is a mess. This is a disaster. What is happening? And then I turned back to the Yankee game that was over 90 minutes before. 888-808-1019. I was walking to the bathroom, and I'm like, I got to think of an analogy or some way to put Gleyber Torres. Like, Gleyber Torres was great last year. He was the best player last year on an 82-80 team. Because the, you know, the short person reference, Jay-Z has used that reference before. It's not politically correct. To me, Gleyber Torres last year is like when you go to the bar and there's like a pack of like five girls at the end of the bar and they're like threes and fours. But the best looking one is a six. That's Gleyber Torres. He's the six in a group of threes and fours. But when you put that six with some eights and nines, he's going to look more like a four. You can't fool me. Fool me, can't fool me again. So they have to give Gleyber Torres 2 days off. We got to see the puppy dog look again, which we've all seen. Looks like he wants to cry after he put his hand on Carlos Rodon and made Carlos Rodon cry. I want to cry too. I want to cry too, guys, but I can't help. I can't do anything. And I got people mad at me. I don't get to swing the bat. I don't get to throw the ball. People are mad at me. Like, I have something to do with the New York Yankees. I'm a fan like you guys. I just happen to be on the mic on the Fan. And this mic is powerful. It doesn't do anything to help them. 888-808-1019. So the Gleyber Torres experiment for me was over a long time ago. If you've listened to me on the Fan, boy, the night that they traded for Josh Donaldson, I was like, please, is there a Gleyber Torres trade coming? Like, I've been off Gleyber Torres for years because I want to win a World Series. I want to be at a parade. And I don't see that happen. Like, I just don't see that happen with Gleyber Torres. So even, you know, when I took a call about, oh, get Jazz Chisholm. So what are we doing with Gleyber? And, you know, all this talk about, oh, these guys love each other. I don't care. I'm over it. Oh, you know, they got each other's backs. We'll have each other's backs on the field. Maybe they don't need to love each other so much. But you tried that, right? You tried to throw a Josh Donaldson in the mix. You tried to separate Gleyber from his best bud in Gio Urshela. I don't know what it's going to take. This is the trade deadline, Cash. Cash, you need to talk very soon. David Stern spoke because everything is rainbows and butterflies and queens. Cash, you got to come out in this next week where the Yankees return home to face the Reds and the Red Sox. I know there's a holiday. Cash, you got to speak.
Cash is a man.
Yeah. Good drop, Connor.
What an incredible human being.
Yeah. After you had all that to say about Cashman all those years ago, now he's incredible, Stroman. Yeah. Whatever. It is what it is. Let's get to these calls. Alan is in Freehold, New Jersey. Alan, you're on the Fan in New York.
Keith, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Keith, just to close out this Gleyber of last year, like you said, the 82-80, 500, bottom line was there was no pressure.
There you go.
They were out of it. There was no pressure. You're a former athlete. I played sports through college.
Yep.
And but again, I didn't go near the pros. And there was no pressure.
Yeah.
So I don't care what he did last year.
Me either.
Because there was no pressure. And he hasn't done anything since he hit the 19
and
homers
Alan,
against
to
Baltimore.
Add to your point, this is his life on the line, contract year for him
exactly.
to make the most money he could make in his MLB career, and how has he responded?
The antithesis of the way Judge responded.
Folded under pressure.
The antithesis, the total antithesis of what
well, let me stop because the Glaber fans are going to be like, he had two hits and he homered the other night. He had three.
Yeah.
And they'll still either split or lose the series to Toronto. So what does it help?
Wow. That team, I don't know what's for the wreck. The Yankees or the Blue Jays. I mean, my God.
The Blue Jays they're 38 and
The worst team in our league. But, Keith, I just want to say this. What really makes it really bad is that you got four teams, we'll just say four teams, in the entire MLB, both National League and the American League. The rest of it is dredged.
I mean,
these records are inflated. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't care if they won 120.
What is there now, four or five teams with 50 wins? Now the Phillies are struggling because Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper on the IL. Adversity is going to hit. But, man, adversity has hit the Yankees, and they've completely evaporated. They've dissolved. They don't look like themselves at all.
And, again, Rizzo, big deal. Rizzo's hurt.
He's done, too.
I'd rather have a mannequin there.
We just got to the finish line with Rizzo sooner. He's done.
Right. He's done. Torres
maybe he can be
there,
a left-handed bat off the bench in the postseason.
Right.
Right
and
now, Ben Rice is hitting better than Rizzo was hitting.
That's right. Right. And today, with Soto. Soto, I mean, two doubles Rice started with. Soto couldn't have done that much better. But we need a mannequin. Catcher, we need a mannequin. And then our relief pitching. How many mannequins can we possibly get?
Thanks for the call, Alan. We need more than mannequins. We need ballers. We need bats now. And what I fear is what I've been preaching to you guys about the Yankee tax, no one wanting to help the Yankees. When David Heckelman was the head of PR at MLB when I was in the fan cave, he said, Keith, there are 29 teams and the New York Yankees. This season, you'll come to find what that means. And I know what that means now. Like, the Yankees are in their own world. They do their own thing. These teams do not want to help them. They don't operate like them. So they're on their own. Cashman has been doing this so long. He's got friends. He's got enemies. And I don't know how many of these teams are so inclined to do the deal that Cashman's going to like, because Cashman's always going to win those deals, at least, you know, as far as what he's given up. I mean, they'll turn into Joey Gallo. They'll turn into Frankie Montas, Sonny Gray. But, like, Cashman's not getting fleeced. So there's that part of it. And then I also fear that the Yankees are looking down the road at payroll and they're saying, well, we can't trade Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, Ben Rice, Caleb Durbin, Augustin Ramirez, Oswald Peraza, Yorvit Bivas, some of these arms, right? Because those guys have to fill in the blanks in your Major League Baseball roster in the next couple of years while you're paying Stanton till 2018. You're paying Judge for another 6 years. You're paying Cole. You're trying to pay Juan Soto. So what do you have to give with all of these holes to fill? 888-808-1019. Let's go to Avery in Manhattan on the fan. Welcome back, Avery.
Hey, Keith. I'm on my way home from Toronto. I was at the first game, actually, not today's game, but we ended up visiting other landmarks, so we're only on the way back now, me and my dad.
Good. I've never been up there. I'm sure that's fun.
The first game was awesome. It was great to see the good game, at least. This guy he just called mannequins. I think he's over-exaggerating the point a little bit, but I hear him. Because, at least with the bullpen, I don't trust a single guy in that bullpen to come in and strike somebody out.
Nope.
And I know Brian Cashman, he likes to get no-name guys and is often successful with them, but you can't have only no-name guys making up the majority of your bullpen.
No, here comes Scott Efros and I think JT Brubaker. I saw Nick Birdie is throwing a live BP in Tampa. Scott Efros is doing rehab stuff. JT Brubaker is being built up as a starter, actually, not going to be in the bullpen. These are not answers. Okay. These are updates that,
they're not answers.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, where is the market for relief pitching at right now, Keith? What do you think? Who do you think is
go ahead.
No. What's his name? The guy in Oakland?
Mason Miller.
Yeah, other than him, because to tell you the truth, I don't think they're going to get Mason Miller.
No, they're not.
I don't think that's something Cashman's going to do at all, no matter what people say. But, I mean, other guys in the league. What are some guys?
People are pointing to the White Sox. I think Garrett Crochet and Kopech. It doesn't matter. Like I said, for us, those deals aren't going to get done. It's going to be a different price for us, a different tax for us. Tanner Scott from the Marlins name, his name pops up with the Yankees all the time. I don't know. People are saying everything right now, but Brian Cashman has to get those deals done. And I don't think it's just as simple as, you know, oh yeah, they're going to get Alex Bregman. They're going to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Why? Like, why would those teams just help out? I don't know. I don't think it's that simple.
As for Rodon, the damage is already done. I mean, I know Yankee fans, we're all going crazy because, oh, they signed the guy for 6 years. We knew it was going to be bad because you really shouldn't be signing a starting pitcher to the New York Yankees for 6 years, given the history that we've had with guys.
But we defaulted into that, Avery, because all we signed was Judge, right? And they fumbled the Judge contract and had to pay Judge so much. You can't have an offseason where you just bring in one guy, and we needed an arm after trading Jordan Montgomery away, and he was just sitting there waiting.
There we go. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I mean, when you aren't able to score runs in the first inning, you end up giving up as much runs as you give up with what's been going on lately.
You can't win.
You can't win. Exactly. So then it becomes a matter of the bullpen, right?
Yeah. And you're rolling out Phil Bickford. And Kirk Cousins' cousin, who actually should have got more of a leash today.
But I think he's all right now.
I'm happy to have him back. They called him up the other day. I forgot about him. I'm like, good. And today, I'm like, I would have liked to have seen more out of him. But they have their scripts, they have their plans, and they stick to them.
Yeah. I just hope that
we got to get to the next month. We got to get to the next month.
We're in the thick of it right now.
Yeah,
exactly.
This June gauntlet tore us apart. It exposed everything about us. It revealed that this team is not as good as we thought. They got hurt. They got banged up. They have no depth. And now we're looking at the Yankees like they're playing like one of the worst teams in baseball. That's scary. Scary. Scary
and
hours.
And the last thing I'm going to say, for now at least, is teams like the Toronto Blue Jays, teams that aren't good teams, teams with hitters like George Springer and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who have been having terrible seasons, come in, and Guerrero,
right,
too, except that he's all right.
Turner. Yeah. They still have Dalton Varsho. They still have Alejandro Kirk. Guys, I mean, I know he's batting under 200, but these are guys, he's been an all-star. When I look at their lineup today, their lineup is way better than ours, obviously.
Yes, but it's also that some of these guys, I feel like they come and they play the Yankees, and you touched on this earlier in the show. They come to play the Yankees, they're like, ooh, it's the Yankees. We can beat the Yankees.
Yep, and they turn up.
Confident.
And the Yankees
and then they
reactivate these guys.
Turn someone on. Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Avery. Who you going to call? Slump Busters. Something strange in the Yankee neighborhood. You got a low OPS? Slump Busters. Like, just throw Carlos Rodon out there. I'm showing my age. The young boys are like, what the hell is that reference from? Slump Busters. We had a whole George Springer resurgence the last 3 days. He's cooked. Balling against the Yankees. Balling out. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., he's putting on a showcase. He's like, hey, a Yankee, I cut my hair. I'm a professional, no problem. You want me, I'm available. Somebody come get me. Anybody come get me. I'm playing for the fifth place Toronto Blue Jays, who are 38-44. And all they did was talk about how great they were going to be, Alek Manoah, and how they like to beat the Yankees, never beat the Yankees. Well, they are now. They're beating the Yankees like a drum. 888-808-1019. Somebody call up and solve this. Garrett Cole, save us. You're our only hope. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. As we proceed to give you what you need, 888-808-1019. We got to talk about the Yankees and talk all around it and just hope for the best. You know, during a break, I was thinking about how right now, you know, Aaron Rodgers came back from Egypt. Nobody even cares. No one's even talking about Aaron Rodgers. You know, all the eights and the new numbers for Aaron Rodgers Radio. This is supposed to be the song that doesn't end. No one even cares about Aaron Rodgers coming back from Egypt and his ayahuasca trip or whatever it is, because the Mets have turned into a complete different team. Something that I don't think anybody saw coming. I don't care if you're David Stearns. I don't care if you're Carlos Mendoza. Like, I don't think anybody saw them playing as good as they've played. And then the Yankees have fallen off a cliff with just injuries and just, like, their identity is completely gone right now. Although, where my dog's at, all the barking, they're not barking. I mean, Ben Rice is getting a couple knocks and getting on base and doing a little dog hands, but they're playing like dog S. They're getting dog walked. And I'm pissed about it because I love baseball. Like, if you've been aware of me the last decade from when I got on the scene in the Fan Cave, and the whole point of the Fan Cave was make baseball cool again. These young content creators love baseball and they watch baseball all the time. And here's why you young kids should get into baseball. Like, I've just kind of carried the baseball with me, specifically the Yankee fan with me, and the Yankees perspective, and like wanting to just like put that out there and let people see, like, yeah, it's cool to go to the game. It's cool to watch the game. It's cool to have different jerseys and Yankee socks and shorts and fitteds and merch. And, like, it's not this old man's game. But now I'm like, yo, the NBA is done. The NHL is done. And here comes football. We're going to July. In a couple weeks, man, people are going to be talking about training camp. Hard Knocks starts on July 2nd for the Giants fans. And all of us are going to watch. I think we don't care who's on Hard Knocks. We're watching Hard Knocks. I was telling you guys last year how great the Miami Dolphins in-season Hard Knocks was. I'm disappointed because I'm like, man, the Yankees were rolling. And they had every opportunity here against these good teams to compete and show the world, like, yo, we are one of the best teams in baseball. We are on our path to getting back to the World Series this year. Nobody believes that right now. And even if you're the most optimistic Yankee fan, You can be like me and know that there's a long road ahead and that anything can happen. But this team's not looking like a team. They look like a team with a ton of issues, a ton of holes, and it's going to be a tough job to fix. Lou is in Astoria. Lou, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I've been better. I'm in here watching the Baltimore Orioles beat the Texas Rangers. And if they get another win tonight, you know what that means. Like, they just are creating more room and space in first place, and yeah.
Listen, congratulations on your anniversary. Let it be some time. Don't take it too serious. Sooner or later, we're going to be in the playoff. The situation with our Yankees, and you know that our formula at the beginning of the season was that we score from the first inning on, and the pitcher had that, you know, that chance to be relaxed and pitch their game.
Right.
Because they had a lead. When was the last? I mean, against the Mets. Let me give you an example. In the first two games, bases loaded, nobody out, and they didn't score.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, that is ridiculous. I mean, that was our formula. Today, I got called on Uncle Ben Rice. He had two hits, so he did as good as Soto, and we still didn't score. Okay? That's what the problem is.
Yeah, because LeMahieu 0-3. Cabrera behind him 0-4. Grisham behind him 0-4. The 7, 8, and 9 hitters,
yes.
They were striking out and they were grounding out and flying out. They didn't do anything.
And the pitching got, you know, while pitching was great because they got used to having that lead. It makes a difference, okay? I know. You don't want to play
100%.
Baseball, it makes a difference. You're more confident.
100%.
Okay? I mean, you know,
Rodon was good in the beginning of the year because everything was, it was like, hey, look, there's no pressure. Yes. These guys are rolling. They're hitting home runs.
Exactly.
They're scoring runs. And when we asked Rodon to be the stopper, he absolutely cannot.
There you go. That's a good example. He was comfortable and he said, wait, I can throw. This guy's only, listen, I hate to tell you this, but Rodon Strowman, which is one of your favorites now. I don't know why, but you know what? I don't like him either. When it comes to the playoffs, him and the other lefty, what's his name, the guy that beat last night? Him.
Nestor?
My memory. Yeah, those guys in the playoffs, I'm not comfortable with them, okay? Let me tell you something, though, about the GM. I want the GM to be gone, okay? I'm sick and tired of him. And also now, lately, Boone, I gave him an excuse because I thought that he was guided, he was a puppet to Cashman. Now, when I saw him doing the not taking care of the situation, Rodon, if you remember, a little way back when he pushed his hitting coach away from him, okay? And then this guy, Boone, didn't do anything, okay? And then the other night, he comes to the mound, and the guy tells him like he's pitching a no-hitter, no, I want to stay. Well, like, he's pitching great.
I know. Yeah, okay? I watch.
I would have told him, get the hell out of here.
The game was lost already. The game was lost already. It didn't matter. If anything, it was like, all right, good. Get these last two outs and save the bullpen some. It's a four-game set.
There's no leadership there. Keith, no leadership.
But it worked out. It worked out. Rodon ended up getting the last two outs. Lou, thanks for the call, man. I mean, I don't know. I hear you guys. But, like, you want the GM gone? The GM is Brian Cashman. I refer to Brian Cashman as the eternal GM. He's not going anywhere. Not for a while, yo. He's going to have to hire the next guy. He's got to groom the next guy. He's not doing that. I don't think he's going to go out until he gets another World Series. I don't know how long that's going to take. And with Boone, I was on that night after that game, and I referred to Boone as cool dad. Cool dad prevails sometimes, right? I'm a dad, and now my son is learning how to talk and fight back, and he's dropping things, and he's wasting food, throwing it on the ground. He's throwing tantrums, and I'm gripping him up a little bit, and I'm getting more stern with my voice. I'm not trying to be cool dad at all. I'm your dad, not your friend. I'm an authority to you. You respect me. But I understand, like, they respect Boone, but at the same time, he's cool with Judgy and Glaby. And so when I saw him go out there to take the ball from Rodon, and Rodon had already pissed the game away, giving up five runs, three runs, he was already giving away eight runs. Let him finish the fifth. For what? Like, so what? And if he would have, you know, got rocked or given up, it would have been like, oh, Boone doesn't have a hold on this team. No, cool dad prevailed. Cool dad let his son stay out for, an extra hour. And he came back and parked the car and woke up the next morning. Everything was all good. I think the analogy I used that night, cool dad let the kids stay up and play video games in the basement for another hour. And he said, hey, I better wake up in the morning and everything is put back and clean and in place. And woke up in the morning, everything was fine. So I don't know. It's about approach. Everybody's got different styles. Boone is the type of manager I think that is a player's manager. I know that Aaron Judge loves Aaron Boone. And I know that Brian Cashman loves Aaron Boone, because where else did Aaron Boone manage before here? Nowhere. He was hand-selected. And they're in this together. And I remember Cashman literally saying, I wish I could find the interview. He said he wants Boone to have as much time as Girardi and Torrey had. I expect him to get another contract no matter how this season ends. 888-808-1019. So, like, we can, as fans, demand. You guys don't demand anything. Like, we can demand for this guy to be gone. What we got to demand is excellence. What we got to demand is they do better. What we got to demand is that they get some better players and some better performance ASAP. All right. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. We got to go to the break and the update. My last hour on this Saturday night live on the Fan. KM and the PM returns right after this.